The scripture says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also. Now note carefully, this is important. Unto this generation. The first one of the dark trinity that is coming back. Now the idea here from the book of Matthew 12 is that once these spirits leave, and then my friend return, when they return, the state of that man is worse than it ever was before. And he is saying that these spirits now are returning to America and lays out the foundation of why they're coming back. And this is important to understand the principle and thesis of this book. So the first one of the dark trinity to come to America, since the Holy Spirit has been turned away, since they've turned God out of school, since they've kicked prayer out of school, and my dear friend, taken the word away from most of the people in this country, the first spirit that comes back is the spirit of Baal or Baal. That is the spirit of the possessor. It is the possessor. And the possessor simply is the one who comes first of all to take away all that is good. In other words, to create a vacuum. And my dear friend, once a vacuum is created, then something will rush to take its place. And that's what Baal does. And so in the 60s, when they began to kick God out of the schools, out of the marketplace, out of the public square, when they did all of that, then they opened the door by doing that for a spirit that would replace. The Almighty will not stay where he's not wanted. Note carefully what it says in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so therefore the possessor comes and he begins to take possession. Because the door has been open and God was driven from the schools, the culture, the public square, the universities, corporate America, and on and on and on and on and on and on the list goes. How close you are to completely losing your freedom of speech, which is the First Amendment. How close, preacher? When they throw the preachers in jail, when they come for the pastors and the evangelists, mark it down, that's in. All freedom of speech is gone when that happens from this country. Right now. The marketplace, the school systems, everything else out there, you know as well as I do, you have no freedom of speech. There are places out there that if you voice your opinion, you're finished at that moment. There is no debate in the colleges. It is their way or no way. If you don't believe that I'm correct in this, just go check it out. So like a cancer, it has eaten into that freedom of speech. And my dear friend, if you don't have freedom of speech, then nothing the rest of it matters. And so out goes God. And when he goes out, what comes in his place? Baal. And so Baal has entered in to destroy everything and turn it upside down that America had ever believed and loved. And so then what happens? Well, the second evil spirit, or the second spirit to return, would be the enchantress. Her name is Ashtoreth. And she goes by different names according to the culture. The culture accommodates according to their culture, renames this goddess, but she's the same thing wherever she goes. Her name is Ashtoreth. She's called Ishtar. She's called Aphrodite. She's called Venus. She's called Diana. She's called this and she's called that. But here is what marks her character. She is a wildly fanatic, sexual, deviant, and pervert. She knows no bounds. She knows no barriers. She is free to run wild in every direction she possibly can. She brings sexual immorality, sexual perversion. Everything that has to do with sex is her market. And so this is Ashtoreth. How could this happen, preacher? How in the world could something like that come to a Christian country like America? It's not Christian anymore, folks. You kicked God out and let Baal come in. Now, I'm going to get to the churches in just a few minutes to show you how far God's been kicked out. But he's out. And so since he's out, the goddess of sexuality, sexual immorality, self-gratification, she can't control herself. She's called a harlot. She's called a prostitute. Did you know that the Greek word for prostitute is porn or porne? This is where we get the English word pornography. This is that stuff that pops up on your internet. This is what you see out there on the internet. There are millions of pornographic sites in this country. Did you know that? And around the world? Let me give you just a little bit of statistics as it relates to pornography. This is important because it is mind-boggling when you think about the spirit of Ishtar. Pornography use increases the marital infidelity rate by more than 300%. 11 is the average age that a child is first exposed to pornography. It's mind developing and it has that put in front of its face. God had a reason for telling you to put clothes on. 56% of American divorces involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. Now buckle up for what I'm about to tell you. 68% of church-going men and 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. Of young Christian adults 18 to 24 years old, 76% are actively searching for pornography. Now, how many of you got slapped just then? How many of you got shocked just then? And you're going to wonder why that you have no spiritual walk with God. You're going to wonder why that your prayers aren't answered. You want to know why your joy's gone from you. You want to know why you're bored to death in church. You want to know why that your wife is no longer that sweetheart that you married. Some of you in the first place married a pretty face. Some of you married a pretty body. And then some of you might have married somebody's soul and spirit and had a real marriage when that took place. Because the face will change, the body will change. But if the marriage is laid out according to the scripture, it'll last your whole lifetime. Amen. Fact of the matter is your love for each other will go stronger and stronger and stronger by the day. So mark it down. As surely as you live by the flesh, you'll die for the rest of your life by the flesh, for you'll never be satisfied. So pornography robs you of your home. It robs you of your marriage. A prostitute brings her sexuality into the marketplace to be bought and sold. So what does that do to the marriage covenant of two people? It belittles it, it destroys it, it drives it down. It takes its value away. This is why today there's so many marriages are ending in divorce. They weren't married to begin with. They don't know what a marriage is. Did you know that in ancient Rome, if you walked down any street in ancient Rome, you would have male or female genitalia displayed everywhere, all over the place. They were obsessed with sex. Obsessed with it. Any culture that becomes obsessed with sex is headed down. It won't make it, friend. Sex will not keep your marriage together. You gotta have something stronger than that. Something that has meaning to it. And the only meaning they'll ever join two together is when their hearts are bound together. You ought to go in this graveyard over here. It's an amazing thing. Look at all the hearts over here in this graveyard where they're joined together forever, they say on their tombstone. Love forever. We love each other forever. We're gone together. We're long. We love each other from henceforth. And it'll never change. That's what a marriage ought to be about. Love is what a woman's looking for. Can you love her? Can you love your wife? The Bible said, husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You initiate that love towards your wife. She's looking for that. She's looking for a man too. Have you ever noticed the femininity of men today? It blows my mind, folks, of what's going on. I'm going to have to do a little digging into it. I got some ideas of what's causing this. It's not so much the culture causing it. They're born that way, a lot of them, with a spirit that animates them and causes them to be that for the rest of their life. Where does that spirit come from? Where does it come from? What causes that in the beginning? This is a problem we've got. People need to get right with God. Amen, amen, amen. America has become sexualized. Yes, it has. Did you know that there are more witches in America than there are Presbyterians? New Age movement has taken over this country. A lot of the churches today, when they worship, it's New Age. It's New Age. New Age. That's sad, isn't it? Ancient inscriptions about Ishtar, and some of them say this: I'm a woman, I'm a man. That's androgyny. Praise is for Ishtar. You are the one that turns a man into a woman and a woman into a man. The masculine man today is called toxic masculinity. But the masculine woman is bravo. See what they're doing? Upside down, upside down. Calling evil good and good evil. The gods go after your children. Girls are being trained today to be self-sufficient. I don't need a man. And feminism, once it locked itself in to the young ladies, has literally destroyed a feminine. Men love feminine. They love the feminine woman. You know, the natural inclination of the man is to protect and defend. He's the protector, right? Then the third one is the destroyer. Once we have Baal, who does away, empties and destroys, and does away with God. And then we have Ishtar, the enchantress, and you are living in that age. Then what do we have left? We have the destroyer. Who's that? That's Molech. Molech, he's the one that laid the babies in his arms and rolled off into his belly. Baby sacrifice, human sacrifice, all over the world. What stopped it, preacher? Why did they quit? The preaching of the cross of Christ. The gospel of the grace of God. I was born into a country that had been built upon the foundation of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank be unto God for it. But people today, bless your soul, look what they're born into in this country now. That's sad, don't you think? Moloch, a pagan world. It's common to offer up human beings. Well, are they sacrificing any human beings in America today? How about 63 million? How about 63 million? Oh, yeah, they're sacrificing them. They're killing them. And do you know something? They're not satisfied. This stuff always leads to something else. And I was amazed when I got a hold of this. But you see, it's a small step to kill the baby and then kill in the womb and then kill the baby that's been born. But you see, it's there. There's a reason for it. There's a reason, because now we're taking step by step by step, which opens the door. We have a nation full of men and women that are possessed by the spirit of Baal, by the spirit of Ashtoreth, by the spirit of Moloch. Romans 1:21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. The foolish heart was darkened. This was the downfall of what wound up to be perversion to the worst sort in Romans 1. 2 Timothy 3. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. God mentions that more than once. And then finally in Hebrews 13, listen carefully to this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Here's what he said. He said that circumstances may not make you feel like it, and the environment may not cause you to feel like it. You may not even feel like it. But he said, if you'll give a sacrifice of praise in the sight of God, that is giving thanks. And what's that mean? That means that you're giving something to God, a sacrifice. You see, that you did not, that you, in other words, there's not a pile of gold in front of you where you're thanking God for it. You're simply saying, Lord, you're the Lord, and you watch every moment of my life, every breath that I take, everything that I do, it's in your hands. And so, Lord, I'm going to praise you because you're the Lord, and I'm going to bless your righteous holy name because you're a good God. You've been good to me. That's the sacrifice of praise. That's what that means, and giving thanks to God. Now, I'll leave you with this, folks. One of the most important things that you can find in your spiritual life is not how high you can shout, climb a wall, jump, run. And I'm not against none of this stuff. I'm not up here to criticize. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing you'll determine to find in your life to mark your spirituality is whether you have a thankful heart or not. Thankful. Thankful. Thankful.